Good morning, friends. Good morning. Welcome to North Valley. We're in this kind of time in August where we have finished a sermon series and going through the book of Luke and are focusing on our mission and priorities this month and having different people speak about their experiences and their story. So we're doing just this thing just a little bit differently. So the slide that we says, welcome, you are among friends. And then part of that is looking at our vision together is North Valley is a, friends church. It's a Quaker community of ministers who seek to follow Jesus Christ faithfully, love each other deeply, and continue his God's ministry in the world. And so that's kind of the what we'd like to hold before us as our intention is to live that way and to be faithful followers of Christ. And so along with that, 2 years ago, we started doing, looking at what would be our ministry priorities. How do we know what that looks like? And so there were five priorities that we came up with. Last week, Colin did authentic community. He held a ball of yarn and talked about how we were connected. And you can see the other ones up there as well. And this morning, we're doing a generous and sustainable use of resources. So that's kind of and it's kind of hard to pull these apart, isn't it? Because it really is about who we are and what we value and how we want to be. So, and I guess as I'd like to say that I'm going to invite you to pause a minute. And perhaps you can think about where did you enter the building? Maybe what threshold? And as you're looking even around here, what did you notice? Or what caught your attention? Now you're going to get all quiet. Okay, so let's start. What door did you come through? How many people came through these front doors? Ah. How many people came through the fellowship hall? Okay. Is there a door that I didn't name that you came through that you would like to surprise us? Oh, okay, Gina. The children's worship area. The door up through the youth room. Okay, just so you know, we have about 13 exterior doors that you could come in on a Sunday morning, but clearly most of us come through the foyer. And I only bring that to our attention because we, in some ways, take our building and our facilities for granted, right? It isn't, it's in the background, but it gives us a place for us to be and come together. And kind of as a community, we have been blessed with this beautiful property and a wide array of facilities. And they do provide us important opportunities and invitations for ministry. And in 2022, we celebrated 50 years of ministry in this location. So some of these, this portion of the building and part of the fellowship hall is the original part. And it's about 50 years old. So some of it looks kind of, the windows and some of the woodworking and all, the seal is a part of what it was that not only us, but many people have sat in this sanctuary and have worshiped. So we're holding, I'm just kind of saying we're going to hold three questions together, kind of that are under this, is how do our buildings and property we have been entrusted with reflect our values and ministry priorities? And as members and attenders at North Valley, how are our finances and gifts of time and talent reflected in our ministry? And then, what is our faithfulness moving forward? discerning the needs and invitations in this season of ministry in our location. And our ministry has taken different forms over the years, and we have dreamed dreams and moved forward, you know, giving time towards a vision of property and finances that continues to us to invite us to listen and to wait and sometimes move. I don't know if you came in through the foyer, you may have noticed that right there in the center, there's this model that's out there. And if you didn't see it when you came in, maybe as you leave, but that model was built just around 2000, when we were beginning to wonder what over here had all been pine trees. It was forested at that time. Sometimes the team would, then there were some animals on it. The team, when I was here, we would go out and have to herd some of the cows back, especially Bill's Rourke's property, which is now that housing addition right there in front of us. So what used to be rural, is city has caught up with us. And so what I mean, that differences. But even as you look at that model, you'll see that there were some things that we had kind of these inklings about that aren't exactly the same. But yet there are some certain threads that continue to run through our visioning because of the gift of our land and facilities. And that has been a place for community people to gather, to be able to have fun, to be able to, in addition to worshiping here in this building, the Peace Trail, which is the mile trail that goes around our property, and the people in the community in Newburgh walk around it. And then, of course, our labyrinth, different parts of the gift of this. So it's, I guess, just realizing there's been generations of folks who have sat here. And so I like to think that this sanctuary is a sacred place because we're here. And throughout the years, it has been a place, a thin place, for us to draw near to God, and God to draw near to us. So my hope is that the generosity and abundance of God will sustain us and give us joy today. And Psalm 24 says the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. And so this place in this time is we are stewarding it because it's a gift. So let's lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving. When I think about our life together here in our mission, I picture us being deeply rooted, and at that root ball is the belovedness, God's belovedness for us, that allows us, that gives us the energy, gives us the provision to do the work that we do, and to be people who follow Christ faithfully, in the particular time where we live. And so this is just an image that instead of it having written as a kind of a mission statement, it gives me, especially we're talking about, the stewardship of our property and finances, just helps me hold on to hope and that sense of God being with us in a way that makes a difference. And so now we'll go to the other slide. Earlier this spring, we passed out giving cards, and want to just thank you for the response that we have, because it allows us to know how to plan for our finances, and then also in addition to the finances, the time and talent that it takes for us to do the work in this congregation, and so we can plan reasonably. So, but what I want to do is that we just finished our fiscal year in June and have started a new one. And I want us to celebrate. Because of the generosity and the giving here that we received from tithes and offerings during the last fiscal year, there was a budget overage of $31,000. Yeah. And that actually brings tears to my eyes, because we have budgeted carefully And, you know, sometimes there's that growing thought of scarcity. There's not going to be enough. So I just want us to be able to just, that we are people who give generously, financially. And in case you're wondering, so because of those additional funds, we have been able to kind of make up some lost maintenance that we've needed around here. We were able to fund some camp scholarships, put away some funds for the church retreat, new ministry funds that are there that are not earmarked, and also the fellowship committee. We have lots of, we're going to talk a little bit later about the building use, but the tables and chairs that need to be replaced, a new commercial coffee maker, some of those things that are inward focused, but it also is a good portion of that went for us to do some much needed repairs and maintenance on the building as well that allows us to be in this location. So I just wanted to say that and celebrate the goodness of that. And also I wanted just to highlight, if you've ever noticed the back of the bulletin, and there's like, it kind of gives you the giving and stuff. But there's this one line item that says emergency funds. And emergency funds are not something that are budgeted for. They're not coming out of tithes and offerings. And it's amazing that we have people, not a part of our, maybe part of our local worshiping community, but beyond. They come for bill payment for water, for electricity, maybe rent support, car repairs, gas. And I think it just, it says a lot because there's always enough. And it kind of reminds me as you're casting your net wide and that there is a sense of people come and we have ways to support them financially of people that are a time of need. So just realizing that in our financial, how we are generous in that way and can pay, hospital payments and enough, that there's enough. So that's the financial end, but Donanne Warren has volunteered to come up and talk a little bit more about the time and talent aspect.
I think I was voluntold. Have you noticed the sun rises later these days and the sunset is earlier? And the we are closer now to the equinox than we are from the summer solstice. So I noticed that the time is coming when we're going back to school. I look at you guys because I used to teach your age group, and I know that this was a hard time for all of us. And I also wanted to think about a challenge that I'm working on right now as I have retired, and I want to invite you to join me in this challenge. And it's my resource now is time. How do I dedicate my time? Several years ago, I don't know if it was just in Portland or it was a state thing or maybe even a national thing, there were a whole lot of billboards that went up, and there was a clock painted on one side of the billboard, and it said, give five, of course, a takeoff on the Paul Desmond tune, take five. Give five, and somebody had figured out that if we give 5 hours a week volunteer work, that is like a tithe of our time and energy. So I've been thinking about what I want to do with my 5 hours. Actually, ideally, I'd have more than that. And we are now working in something called the attention economy. We're no longer that industrial, where it's no longer even information economy. It's attention. Where do I put my attention? So my challenge for myself, and I hope you will join me in this, is to look at where I put my time and resources in a prayerful way so that I'm not pressured by others, but I really, really put my life and calendar in the hands of God and listen well.
I'm going to ask you to do some participation, but here in a minute. But I wanted you to see these poster, what we call them, yard signs up here, and we have a whole stack of these. I'm glad you are my neighbor. And this one says, no matter where you come from or the color of your skin, I'm glad that you are my neighbor. And we had these done, I would say, probably maybe 10 years ago. In the first wave, after 9/11, and there was just a lot of fear and fraughtness, and which I think has only ramped up over the years. But I think that sense of hospitality that we hope that we can live into, and so who we are and how we are is really key here, is important to many unnamed people that I want to say come up here to North Valley. And sometimes, especially now, they come up in a car later in the evening and park around the back or in our parking lot, and then they're gone first thing because they don't have a home or there isn't a place for them to be, but the car allows them to have that kind of safety. And early on, when that was possible, North Valley became a sanctuary church. And actually, Newburgh became a sanctuary city for a time. And I think that, that rootedness in the heart of God is the sense that we provide safety and shelter for people in need. And it's gotten harder to do that. I mean, sometimes I have mused with is it possible that it's so hard to do good? And I don't know if you've had some thoughts about that, but and part of that I say with as we think about how we use our building and our building use. We have a lot of groups that use. We have quinceañeras, we have weddings, we have the celebration times, graduation parties, birthday parties, and we keep our building rental very low in order for it to be, people can access it, and it's affordable for them to do that. And in the same vein, that the walking trail that we put up here now is a 2009 and 2011, it was finally finished, was paved. And it was paved because we wanted it to be accessible. So you'll see people with their strollers and different things, and it is costly. As we are finding out, as we've had an audit of our building and grounds, and just the amount of money takes to care for that and to tend that. But we also, I remember, how many of you were here, remember when we redid the platform so we could have a ramp that went up the back of the platform so the platform was accessible? So we've tried to make some building changes also. They filled in this this driveway so that it, right in front of the foyer, so that people could get out and come directly into the sanctuary. I wish we'd have that in all parts of the building, because in the back, the mystery, what we used to call the youth area, has three different staircases to it, and it is not accessible to everyone. And so these are some of both the invitations and the challenges, but what does it mean for us to provide welcome and hospitality just with our buildings? And in our gym, I mean, we have soccer clubs that use it, basketball, pickup games, community volleyball. I wish I could name it. We have three Boy Scout and Girl Scout troops here that meet, and they meet here. And we ask in return that they would help with do some of our yard work. Got lots of property here, weeds to pull, bark dust to spread, and things like that, so that then they also can have that opportunity of service, as well as us benefiting from their service as well. So I think it matters that we're here. A couple of years ago, we actually had an offer to buy all of this property here the church included, and we didn't give it a lot of consideration, but it did invite us to ask the question, is it our faithfulness to stay here in this location, or do we want to sell it all? And we did some discerning and decided, no, we feel like it is our faithfulness to stay here in this location. And that means then the audit of the building, and there's actually, I think when they did this, maybe Scott, can you remember how many under roof we have of square foot of a building? I think it's like 21,000 square foot of roofing in all of our buildings here. That's a lot. And I've mentioned the 13 doors and the thresholds and windows that need to be replaced. We're getting ready to, part of our joy is being able to replace some of the older windows in the back part of the children's wing over here. And so in the midst of this is feeling that wanting to be faithful with that. So I'm curious, when you think about gifts of time and talent, can you think of a time, or are you willing to share a time, of when you came up and volunteered or were here doing some tending of our property? I know there are people out there, but I'll give you an opportunity just to volunteer. Okay, I'll bring it to you, then I'll let Scott, if he wants to.
A couple memories I have, and it is a long time, so maybe these things need to be done again, but it was painting the gym. That was a big and painting the labyrinth. That was really fun, and tending to that.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember when we rebuilt the playground. That was fun.
Yeah. We did the playground. Painted the labyrinth. And I want to say a little bit about painting the labyrinth. How many of you have been on the labyrinth? Yeah. When we first did that, and you know, it's a 65-foot square foot, piece of concrete that's out there. And, but it had to be painted. And so when we went to paint this, it was very intentional. We did it in shifts, people signed up, and we painted it in prayer. And we had people walking around the trail as we were doing that to kind of just really anchor it in a sense of our desire that God would be present for those that walked it. And there's many, many people that we have that use this trail, that in community and come to use the labyrinth, that we don't have a name or a face, but sometimes it's... St. Francis is sometimes use words and other times just the idea of being in a place where there's a labyrinth of prayer, intentional, but also just nature and being in creation as a way of experiencing God's presence without words. Others.
I remember, I don't know how many years ago, Paul Bach took that labyrinth and divided it like a pie into about 12 different lots and had different ones of us sign up to be responsible for weeding it. And I don't know, only two? Well, I felt like we did it for two and then it seems like it kind of fell off. We haven't weeded ours for a really long time. But I thought that was kind of lovely too.
So sharing the work, yeah.
Kitchen organization, which needs to happen all the time.
We have a serve day coming up on September 16th. So if you want to say the date, those are some of the things that we can do.
Ongoing piece of work that happens is that there's four of us right now that are on a mowing schedule that we take turns and come up and spend 2 or 3 hours and mow. It gives you a good feel for how much we are taking care of.
I'm going to just say a little bit about Scott. He's the clerk of the building and grounds, and on Friday morning when Sunshine and I were up here, this woman, it was interesting, the black sweater, kind of like rhinestones, and had been walking her dog, and she said, I used the labyrinth, and I just wanted you to know that there is like a pool of water just next to the labyrinth, and I'm concerned about if you don't know about it, about your water bill, which, yes, for sure. So later in the day, I got to go back there, and sure enough, there was water where it wasn't supposed to be. And so, of course, I call up Scott, who's the head of Building and Grounds, and Scott comes out, and both of us are standing here looking. We decide, yeah, there's a leak, and Larry's not here. And so it's like, okay, so where's the shutoff valve to turn off that spigot way back there by the labyrinth? And Larry goes, well, it's somewhere, if you stand at the front door of the gym by the big bush on the right-hand side, and it's buried underneath there. And so I mean, literally, Scott and I are looking. I'm getting shovels and stuff, and he's starting to dig. And, I mean, this is getting to be a bigger project. And I'm sure that Brenda would not have appreciated that he was down on his. I have pictures of him laying on the ground trying to dig far enough. But he's the guy you want because he used to work for natural gas to find these valves and things. Well, the first one was not the right valve, so there was another box that was beneath that we had to dig up. Meanwhile, I thought, this is for a younger guy. So I called Greg Woolsey, and I said, Greg, I saw you and Kai just right outside the front of your house as I walked up to church. Would you mind coming and, you know, maybe helping out? And they come, and we're all looking in this hole, and I still have to say that Scott's laying on the ground doing most of the work, and sure enough, we found the second box and the thing that we were supposed to turn off, and it stopped the water. But it just the recognition that, you know, kind of like that Ghostbuster song, who do you call? You call one of the Building and Grounds guy. You call Scott, or we call Larry. And then the neighbor, Greg Woolsey, who can come up. So, I mean, I think there's just this sense that the building has these little things that need time, their attention, and we have people that are willing to do that. So thanks, Scott. So if you want to have that, you want to be on Building and Grounds, that might be part of the job description. Couple more?
Work with my wife and my daughter for 17 years working with the clothes closet. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that time.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Others? One more.
This is Laura. It's also about the trail, but all this fruit comes down. It's all over the ground, and all the yellow jackets come. So I've been coming like every morning and sweeping the fruit off the trail because the little kids love to splat it, which is then just going to make people potentially fall. So I'm sweeping it. I cannot keep up. I was coming twice a day. Okay, I brought the leaf blower, and I just blew off all the fruit and put a yellow jacket trap up. I asked Colin first, but never heard back.
Well, thank you. Well, this just gives a little bit of a flavor, and I hope that it will help inspire us and also realize that it takes a whole village, literally, to with the 26 acres, 5 acres of it was sold to Veritas, but that we have up here. But I just want to just focus a little bit on what is our faithfulness moving forward. Because it isn't only about maintaining, but it's also about having the imagination and insight and clarity to move from an idea to an action, and that isn't easy. Because most recently we had a vision about the cottage cluster of tiny homes for affordable housing, and we met resistance for this project, and we could not move forward. And there had been much time and energy and money in this, and it was a very disappointing outcome. And it still lingers in the corners of our discussions. So pretty much we've taken a pause for the last 3 years to recover and discern, you know, what is next, given still the home insecurity and those who are marginalized. So partly is, who do we partner with? And so we have been partnering with the drop-in center and showers, and we're kind of reimagining that space, plans for maybe RV pads, temporary housing. We have many people that have come up and asked to park their RV, new laundry facilities possibly here that we don't have, adding on to the gym, but also just with the wondering what other partners might emerge. Because we're also, and if you look at that model out there, we've also been at the heart and the center is a place for community connection. And so we've mentioned this in different places, that we've been in conversation with the Chehalem Valley Soccer Club. And they are going to be, our understanding is making an informal offer at this point for the land over here. I don't know if you can put up the slide. There. See where the green arrow is there. Those are some of the buildings of the red spaces, but over in the, what would be the left-hand corner, that part of that field over there. And they are a group that is very interested and very concerned about having a space for practice for soccer clubs that is affordable for people and participants and parents. And their desire for that seemed to match our desire. If you look on the model, that was originally as a baseball field, but it's always had that sense of a place of a community for people to gather. And again, this is a very informal, because part of that informal is because Veritas will need to remove their right of first refusal in order for this purchase to go through. And so, and I say that because we'll have more information sessions about it, and I'm sure that people are going, what? And questions, but we just want to be as transparent as possible, because this is another one of these times when we'll have to discern as a community, you know, what is our faithfulness with that. And so there's a business meeting scheduled for September 2nd, but there also will be information. So I don't want anybody to feel like, this is again for us to be able to begin to prayerfully consider and to, is this part of faithfulness for us moving forward? So that's what I have today. And I want to now, Sunshine is bringing what is kind of her experience with being a newer person at North Valley. And
thanks. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Sunshine Sullivan. Our family moved to Oregon. Aaron came in 22, lived with Tim for a year. And the rest of us came out in July of 23. We started attending. I was very curious because Tim came here. And so I was very interested in that. So as we're, you know, church searching, which is very awkward, we started looking at what was online. At different churches, and what is the mission, and what is said and what is not said on the website. What we read on the webpage was, this is a place, it's a church community who seeks to follow Christ faithfully, love each other deeply, and continue his ministry in the world. We saw the Peace Trail on there. We saw the Labyrinth. We saw commitment for work to care and love for the houseless. What I saw was an invitation to join a community. You know me. I'm emotional. So. A church that was a church more than just within the walls. And that's why we started regularly attending. in November of 2023. So, you know, almost 3 years now, which is wild. And so soon after we began attending, the work of the vision and ministry plan began. That's this right here that we have. So if you have not seen this, you should ask for a copy of it, because it is actually very interesting in, because we came from a Wesleyan church, and so Quaker processes was all very new, and it felt good to me, and realizing that the power of listening and how important that is. And so as a newcomer, I worked to listen well during that process. It was challenging for me to share things, but you all created opportunities where I could do it anonymously on the walls around those different areas. And so I could put my ideas up there, and people could take them or leave them, and I wouldn't be judged for not being Quakerly enough. And so I then, throughout that work, I was very interested in the generous and sustainable stewardship of our resources. And so I tried to give more input in that area of our commitments. And I gained insight into how much we desire to do as a church, alongside the need for us to come alongside the ministry team and the ministry leaders to enact all of that work. A lot of times, one person, I'll just use the example that was already shared. Paul divided up the labyrinth into 12 parts, but that requires someone to keep going with that. And so it can start if someone walks into that leadership role or into a volunteer position, they might start feeling isolated and they might start feeling like this is a little heavy if they don't have consistent, you know, teamwork to support that work. And so I started to sign up to do laundry for the shelter. That's when I got to meet Jared, and he walked beside me because I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. What door do I knock on? You know, all of the everything. But the community that worked in that came alongside me and welcomed me in and helped me to feel at ease with that work. I started helping our hospitality team as I could. I started singing with you all, and now I'm a community care minister. Throughout all of this work, I learned about parts of our church I didn't even know existed. People I didn't know were part of our church, and places, spaces that were mentioned, but I had no reason to walk in those spaces, which was very different from all the other churches I've been part of, because I was either a child or I had children. Children have a natural, free way of exploring places. And as parents, you get to just follow along, and then you get to explore those places. But when we came, our children were adults. And so my understanding of the church was the entryway, the sanctuary, and the fellowship hall. That was the church. And that was fine. That was sufficient. But, you know, I'm a teacher, so I was kind of curious, like, what is down that hallway? Well, I can't walk down there, you know. But, okay, whatever. And so a month ago, Lynn and I were talking about another project. She's like, oh, well, let's go see if there are some natural geographics in the art space. And I was like, huh? We have an art space? She's like, yeah, down in the children's wing. I was like, what? And so we came to the church, and she took me on a tour. And I learned about all of the incredible spaces. Gina is amazing. I walked into that. I was like, oh, I would just love to sit on that carpet. It's just so beautiful. It's so inviting. It's so colorful. And it's decorated by children. Oh, it's beautiful. And I went up to the youth space, which I thought was really cool. And then I found out that there are renovations happening to another building for a cooler youth space. And I was like, what? That's awesome. And there's a library up there that you could just kind of chill if you wanted. It's beautiful. I also was talking about the Peace Trail and the Labyrinth, and mentioned that I talked with Paul about the Labyrinth, and he talked about how, yeah, we've kind of split this up. And so I was like, maybe that's something I can join. And she's like, that'd be great. Maybe I can be a co-leader in that, or I can take over the leadership of that. And then she shared with me the beauty that she shared with you all of how that space was created with such intention and attention. And it just made me incredibly grateful again for this community that we've decided to join. There are many resources for all of us to be grateful. And there are many resources for us to steward well, both individually and as a community, partaking and providing places for connection and community. And so I thought of a lesson that Parker Palmer taught me and continues to teach me that I thought I'd like to share with you. It comes from his book, A Hidden Wholeness. And so if you have a strip of paper, like the one that is on my arm, this is when you pull that out. If you don't have a strip of paper, there are extra strips of paper on the back. Oh, Brenda has them, so she'll bring them to you. Raise your hand if you don't have one. Does everyone have one? Raise your hand if you don't have one. I want to make sure you get one. Up. Parker Palmer talks about this shape. If you lay it down, you can see a shadow on the inside and the outside. And oftentimes communities, and he talks about the pioneers, you know, you corral up, and so you've got your wagon, and like we're centering up, we're circling around. And a lot of times we can shift to looking inward and forgetting about the outside, or sometimes we start shifting outside and forget about the inside. And so he talks about this both for the community to consider, but also for the individual to consider. So he invites us to take this strip and take the strip of the paper you have and pull the two ends slightly apart. There's tape holding it, so maybe pull it at that point. That might be easier for you. So you pull it apart.
I didn't practice this. Okay. And then, so you're going to hold the strip out like this. And just twist one side like this. Just flip the one side, like the sticky side of the tape up to the sticky side of the tape down. And then reconnect it. And if you did it successfully, then what you've created
is the remarkable form of the Mobius strip, which I just found out Lisa has a wooden one, and it's amazing. So if you ever want to see one that's been carved out of wood, ask her. But holding the strip together with your fingers on one hand, use a finger on the other hand to trace what seems to be the outside surface of that strip. And suddenly and seamlessly, you find yourself on what seems to be the inside of the strip. Continue to trace the seams to be the inside surface of the strip. Suddenly and seamlessly, you find yourself on what seems to be the outside of the strip. And what he says is, I have to keep repeating what seems to be, because there is no inside and outside on the Möbius strip. The two apparent sides keep co-creating each other. The mechanics of the Möbius strip are mysterious, but it's a message that is clear. Whatever is inside us continuously flows outward to help form or deform the world. And whatever is outside us continually flows inward to help form or deform our lives. And so what I would like you to consider, can you pull up the invitations? What I invite you to do is on any surface that you choose, consider what action will you commit to for this year? To care for yourself and others, to individually partake and provide places of connection and community, both locally and globally. And if you'd like, this is an invitation, write that just on one of those surfaces. So for me, I am sincere in I really want to join the work, or I'll help lead the work of caring for the labyrinth. It's one thing that I feel like I can add to other ways that I'm already providing and partaking in this beautiful mess that God has given us in life. And so I'll write that, like generously caring for the labyrinth, okay? And this will be a reminder for me. You can wear it as a bracelet. It's a little bit big for me. But I'll probably hang it in my office so I can remember each week, those 5 hours, what am I doing? And so the invitations for in this church, I've learned that as we turn into silence and consider these invitations, if our creator and sustainer gives you a word to share with all of us, please do so. And if our creator and sustainer gives a word for you to walk with, please do so. And so these are the queries that I've pulled from, have kind of cultivated or curated from parts of Palmer's piece. As we journey through this beautiful mess of life, how might we welcome the soul and weave community in a wounded world? How can we walk the Möbius strip wide awake to its continual interchanges, learning to co-create in ways that are life-giving for ourselves and others? And what tangible actions are you willing to begin and or sustain in our community's generous and sustainable stewardship of our resources this year? And I want to add to all of you that are leading and caring a lot already for our community, ask for help. That is one big difference here from other churches I've been in. If you ask for help, people will rise up.